In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, most of us remember this when we were kids. We listened to stories that had happy endings, such that they all lived happily ever after. But even in childhood, we realize that those were just stories. Then as we grew older, we learned that a lot of the stories didn't end so happily. And happiness in general didn't come so easily. This is the part of the painful process of growing up, when we discover the jagged edges of reality and experience the various disappointments in our lives. We learn that we cannot have everything we want and that there is pain, suffering, and even death. On the other hand, we can, however, overdo this growing up thing to the point of becoming cynical about life, rejecting happiness in all its forms as even being possible. Thus, we lower our expectations of how happy we can expect to be. We're certainly glad for any improvement, but not daring to hope for much. So we fall into the don't expect too much and you won't be disappointed kind of attitude. This can have an adverse effect on our faith and, by extension, on our prayer. If we have only a limited expectation of how good things can be, we won't ask for much when we pray, which is not good. And we know the Bible is full of exhortations for us to pray. Pray constantly. If there is anything you need, ask for it in prayer. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and it shall be given unto you. But we can be too much weighed down by reality to pray sometimes. This being because we've lost that awe, that wonder, that childlike wonder that enables us to believe in miracles. Things may not be perfect, but we're still allowed to want them to be perfect. In fact, we're supposed to want it. When we ask for things to be as they should be, we're doing more than just asking. We're asking really that God's kingdom come among us. And that is something he taught us to pray for. You see, God wants things to be run as they should, even more than we want it. He wants us to be happy in this life and certainly happy in the next, to experience the happiness that comes from living in union with him. And we can begin that union here on earth from cooperating with him in establishing his kingdom in the world and in us. Happiness, or God's order, it comes to the same thing. The kingdom of God, where sickness is healed, every injustice is set right, peace reigns everywhere. So we never say that it's no use praying to these things. Prayer is precisely the way to bring them about. Now this leads to another point of disillusionment, that we're tempted sometimes to blame God for what goes wrong in the world, or what goes wrong in our own lives. We complain that he's not doing more to fix things. We have to understand, people who are angry with God for some misfortune, some difficulty, some suffering, are not likely to pray for him, or at least they don't pray with much conviction. So here we have to reassert ourselves and understand that God never changes or loses any of his perfection. He's always the same, always powerful, all-powerful, and always ready to help us. No misfortune, no difficulty, no suffering can in any way subtract from his goodness or his glory. So we have to train ourselves to focus on God as he is. Not our misfortunes, not our sufferings, not our difficulties, but on his perfections. So if we would trust him more, we would behave better, commit less sin, and a sense of order would return to our world, meaning less things going wrong, less suffering. If our faith were strong and direct and straightforward enough, we would simply ask and receive bread, not stone, fish, not serpents, eggs, not scorpions. We would be asking him for blessing and grace every day. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. It's this discouragement and impatience that allows the problems to continue. Lack of vision, lack of hope, and thus lack of prayer. So we languish. The thing is, we can still believe in miracles. The more we want, the more we pray, the more likely we'll see miracles happening. In the case of our Blessed Lord, he responded simply and directly to requests for miracles. He invites the same from us, the same simplicity, the same straightforwardness, the same directness. So we can be like the woman in today's gospel who reasoned that any contact with our Blessed Lord would be enough. She had faith. She merely touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. We can do the same. We can pray. All we can do is pray, as the saying goes. But that's doing quite a lot. So in today's gospel, we see the woman is healed, the little girl is raised to life. All of this was easy work for our Blessed Lord. Not so much for us. As we approach the end of this church year, this liturgical year, at a time which we contemplate, especially the last things, heaven, hell, death, and judgment, we look at ourselves and we strive to look at ourselves honestly and assess our lives, not only what we've done over the past year, but our lives to come. We assess our readiness to meet our Lord. He is the judge, but he's also the advocate. He wants us to be saved more than sometimes we want it ourselves. And our Lord shows his power to heal at every moment, his power to offer us these miracles. He can cure sickness, sure. He can even bring someone back to life. Those are extraordinary things, normally, but they happen nonetheless. That in our own lives we ask for healing. A third level might be the healing of forgiveness. Have we prayed for that forgiveness? Have we asked for that forgiveness in sacramental confession? Have we asked for the power, the possibility to forgive others? Do we have faith that our Lord can and will answer us? We have to understand that forgiveness of sin restores us to life, restores us to the life of grace, or increases that grace. And grace is the life of the soul. This is better than just being healthy or being alive. It goes to the very center of our being, bringing us into union with God. We become sharers in his very divine life. So the idea is that we not just be forgiven, but we are raised to life to the point that we no longer have any inclination to sin and that we're not sinning. We become fully alive, just like the saints themselves, the saints who dwell in perfect concord with Almighty God. So the way we think, the way we regard one thing as more important than another, these can be set straight. As for sickness and death, we know our Lord overpowered. He can work the same things in our lives, the same healing miracles in our lives. There's more to spiritual healing because it involves the will. It involves the will of our will, the will of other people. And we know sometimes the will can be something difficult to bend, but it still can be done. As long as the person concerned shows some degree of cooperation. And if we cooperate, then things change. New desires, purer and stronger, well-ordered, and all linked to the will of God. We become free. Free from addictions, free from compulsions, free from bad habits, and ultimately free from sin. So when we pray, this is what we should ask for. When we call out to the Lord to heal us, we'll gladly take any degree of healing or blessing. But the recovery of our own soul, that's the most important thing. To realize that we need such a change, to believe it is possible, our Lord assures that it is so. When we cry, Kyrie eleison, Domine miserere me, O Lord, have mercy on me, or any similar prayer, this is what we're asking for. Now, it happens that many regard their sins as too firmly embedded to be movable or removable. We all know the old sayings, you can't change your leopard spots. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Error. It's false. It's a false captivity, a false bondage. We don't have to settle for that. We certainly know the process to become, to sin less is a process. It doesn't happen all at once, but we can get there eventually. We cannot heal ourselves, we know. We cannot raise ourselves from the dead or absolve ourselves from sin, but we can pray, we can ask. There has to be an external power, of course, that does these things, and this power comes from Christ himself. And we come to him asking him to direct his gaze of mercy, his merciful gaze upon us. And just one fraction of his infinite power and goodness to revive us and bring us back to life. We ask him to heal us in any way and degree he chooses, but at least we give him full access to our soul and the understanding that we have to be prepared to be his disciples. And being his disciple means a certain amount of responsibility that we strive to be faithful to every single day. We can ask for this freedom when we feel bound, when we're bound up by our sins. So, my friends, We turn our eyes in preparation not only for the end of this liturgical year, which will be upon us fairly soon, but also we turn them toward our own end. So if we continue to pray, we continue to seek His face, to strive to do His will every single day, despite the distractions, our own selfishness, our own misfortunes, our own sufferings, difficulties even, then we will have no fear of living out our life. We'll have no fear of judgment. And we will find ourselves part of the story, which does end happily ever after. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.